Well, obviously, it's more positive than negative that the council have said that they intend to pause plans and that they're committed on paper to engaging with the public over the coming weeks to try and resolve this.
The council have said in their decision, or in their statement, excuse me, that this process has been paused, and they also now speak about how there is to be further community engagement. That's, in fairness to the local authority, what you were looking for. You and others in Ennis-Diamond want to have your say.
Yeah, look, it's a pity that this didn't happen from the get-go, because everybody we spoke to had ideas, and you know, you're talking about a community that is proud of its heritage, and they would like to see something in place that it represents them and is relevant.
Mm. What was the reaction after the conversation yesterday? I know, as we discussed yesterday morning, that a lot of people, particularly in Ennis-Diamond, would have been aware of this statue even before you took to the airwaves and we discussed it. But certainly in a countywide sense, we were inundated with comments from people, most of whom, not all, but most of whom were aghast at the plans.
Yeah, I think it took the majority by surprise. I don't think there was too many in the Ennis-Diamond area that actually did know before the weekend. So you did get that shock horror, the thought of this just being landed on you without consultation, I think did genuinely upset people.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you have any concerns now that this process is, to quote the council, paused? There's no commitment to not install this statue.
Look, you'd be trying to take the positives from this, that they have paused and they have said that they will engage with the locals. So that's positive. A lot of the other aspects of this streetscape really do look good, and everybody seems to be happy with them. It does look like it's going to help Ennis-Diamond in the long run.
Mm.
But with regards to pausing the project with the art piece, we don't know exactly what that means.
Yeah.
They have also said that they will review the other submissions. So I suppose we need to wait for the following statement from them. They said that they'd produce more details in the coming days.
Well, they've said in the formal of public statement, they've said full details of the review will be published in due course. So they're not committing to a timeline. Does this need to go quickly to appease concerns in Ennis-Diamond, do you think?
I suppose, like everything else, if it's brushed under the carpet for a while, it can be forgotten about. People may think that it is resolved when we don't know exactly really what's happening yet. So I suppose until we get further information from the council, we're unsure of what's going to happen.
Do you still want answers to questions as to how we got to this point, as to how this piece was commissioned, how this particular piece was selected?
I suppose, yeah, there's very little forthcoming, really. We're none the wiser as to who was on the committee or who the public representative was, or not even really who the public representative was, but how that there isn't a process in place for a representative to communicate back to the general community.
Mm.
You know, it's no good it being an individual or a single group. There's lots of different groups within any community.
Indeed.
Yeah.
In terms, though, of the engagement that is to come, obviously there'll be a lot of groups and a lot of disparate views, one imagines, will come forward as part of that process. Do you have any thoughts on how that can be as successful and as inclusive as possible? What do you want the council to do? Who should they look to speak with, for example?
Not sure, really.
Well, do you think, as somebody, and we discussed this yesterday, your business is right beside where the statue is to be located. Do you feel like you should be consulted with?
I think that's just courtesy, really, isn't it? A knock on the door and say this is going on outside your door that morning, that they did meet with the artist to give them the brief. No idea that was happening. I had to go out to ask, you know. I mean, in hindsight, that when I did look, there was stuff online for artists, about artists, to get this brief. I'm not an artist. I wasn't aware of it, you know.
Even though it is yards, even from your front door.
Yes.
Yeah. But at the same time, maybe there's a chance here, to be fair to the council, to address that, to do things differently this time around.
Absolutely. And I welcome that they have listened. They do know that people are upset, and they have said that they've agreed to open line of communication, which is great, and I think which is something that should be happening in all communities. Okay. when it's something that affects everybody in locally.
Just finally, Ciara, and you've touched on this already, but I don't want to lose sight of the fact that the focus has been on this statue, and understandably so, but this is part of a broader project, a €500,000 investment in improving the streetscape of your beautiful town of Innisdiamon. There is, in fairness to all of those behind it, there is great potential here in terms of what it can mean for the town, and obviously there's no danger, we hope, of that being lost because of this or anything close to that. An art piece can be part of that as well. You just want it to be to do what the aims are, to improve the town and make it attractive to visitors, but also to benefit locals as well.
Absolutely, and I think that the piece needs to represent the town, and it should be able to reflect its own relevance, to do exactly what it says in the tin, for anybody to look at it, to understand what it is, that it shouldn't need to be a underlying message behind the art piece, you know, like just on social media, there's loads of people had loads of views, loads of ideas, you know, some really, really nice things. Now, I don't know if the council are in a position to come back to the people to ask them exactly what they want there, because I know that they had other submissions already from other artists, so they may relook at that. Again, we're surmising because we actually don't really know exactly how the council are going to approach it either.
But I get the sense that on that point, the suggestions that have been put forward that most resonate with people, they're of the character of the town, they're traditional, they as I say, they're of Innisdiamon, effectively.
Exactly, yeah.
That's what most people would like to see going forward.
Things that people would be proud to see there.
That's Ciara Fahy there. She's a physical therapist based in Innisdiamon, and one of those opposed to the plans for this pooka. It's processed now on pause. And returning to the big talking point yesterday and that planned statue in Innisdiamon, as you are aware and as we have discussed, the planned pooka led to much upset and ultimately led to Clare County Council stating that the process to install it has been put on pause to allow for further public consultation. In terms of what we've been told by our listeners, many of them in or near Innisdiamon, they've branded this planned statue as demonic, satanic, and the stuff of nightmares. But is that a fair interpretation of the pooka? Eddie Lenehan is on the line in Cushing. Eddie, good morning to you.
Morning, Gavin.
And thank you very much for joining us. Can you just explain, firstly, what exactly is the pooka and what's its place in Irish folklore?
The pooka was a creature of the night. It was a dark, mischievous spirit from the other world, to put it in a very, very few words. Mainly in the shape of a black horse, or sometimes, would you believe, like a large goat with horns.
I've seen
now,
it said that it could... I've seen it said that it could take any form that it wished, effectively.
No.
Okay.
No. Mainly a black horse or a kind of a goat.
Okay.
And he occurs, would you believe, in Shakespeare as Puck in A Midsummer Night's Dream, in that play. But as you have it here in Ireland, you'll always nearly have it as a dark horse-like creature. And by the way, in Kerry, in the Gaeltacht in Kerry, the fairies are known as na Póchaí.
Okay.
The Póchaí. Not as Nadina Uisle or Bunach Snake or any of the other names as you'll have them in the Gaeltacht earlier, or na Póchaí in Kerry. But the strange thing now, and I don't know whether the people who are making out, you know, about this satanic thing, whether they know it or not, you see, it might be this thing of the horns. Because if you go through any people who are scholars in Gaelic, Gaelge, there's, you know, the Gaelic, the Irish phrases, they'll have it as, you know, Puckna, for the devil, there's various phrases for the devil. Puckna Nairc, They'll have that.
And is the Pooker always an evil spirit or a dark force?
No. No, because, you see, he's the fellow who would accost you at night and run between your legs, up on his back, flick you up on his back, and off and off and off through the countryside, through bushes and ditches, gaps and clodderons, and he'd dump you in some boggy place at the end of it, maybe, some dusty place, and maybe 25 miles from home. And it was up to you then to make your way home in the morning.
So is it a mischievous spirit then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
he wasn't going to kill you.
There's
no way about that. He wasn't going to kill you, or he wasn't going to carry you off to the dark place, you know, the place down below or anything like that. No, he was going to carry you off to different parts of the country and dump you.
And was there, in local areas, were there different stories about local versions of the Pooka?
No.
No, okay.
They're all the same.
They're all the same.
That's what intrigued me, you see, when I saw the plinth in a Steinman's Pooka.
Yes.
There's no such thing as in a Steinman's Pooka or Kerry's Pooka or Innes's Pooka or anybody else's. They're all the same.
Because that was exactly the question I was leading to. Were you aware of any reason why it would be
Steinman's? I was scratching my head when I saw that. It was my daughter showed me on her iPhone, because I don't have an iPhone, and she showed me this, and that was the first thing I saw in a Steinman's Pooka. I mean, all the Pooka is the Pooka is the Pooka.
Hmm.
And when I saw the picture of it with legs, the horse's head is fine. You know, that's an acknowledged part of folklore. But with legs, I was wondering, I don't know who the artist is.
No,
and I don't know. That's not my business. But it seemed to me that was going back a little bit towards Greek mythology. You know, the half horse, half man. No, the Pooka, as I have ever heard the stories from Irish folklore, was the Pooka was a black horse, or sometimes towards a goat figure. No matter, it was an animal spirit figure that got you by night and ran with you and off and jumped you miles out of your way, because the whole idea behind it was you shouldn't be out at night playing cards or whatever you should be doing. You should be home safe in your bed like any respectable person, and not to be out in the dark hours when you shouldn't be out.
Did you like the statue?
It was imaginative.
That's one way of not answering a question, Eddie.
Well, it was imaginative, but it wasn't accurate, according to folklore.
Mm. So, what do you make then of people's opposition and the concern that they felt it was a sinister?
No, I wouldn't say that, because look, the Pooka was a sinister figure.
Mm.
We have become too PC. In Ireland, and part of that is because we have become too bloody soft. Nobody is walking through the fields anymore. We're afraid of our own shadows, because we see we're all inside watching TV now. There's nobody walking out in the dark, because I look, with good reason, of course.
Yes.
Because there's a murder a day now. There's all kind of crazies out there in the dark, you know, ready to do the things that wouldn't be done so easily when there was community long ago. But there's no community now, unfortunately. Okay. And people aren't walking out. You could walk out for your game of cards long ago and be frightened that the Pooka was after you. There's more after you now than the Pooka.
Okay. Would many people have met the Pooka or had those experiences that you talked about where maybe they were taken 25 miles out of their way?
I think half of the stories that were told about the Pooka, I've had a few of them. I have a few of them on my recordings now. I do have a few of them on my recordings. And they were taken serious. I have one by one particular woman. She met the Pooka. Luckily, she wasn't carried away by him, but she met him at the end of an old estate wall up in East Galway. And she recognised what he was. She recognised what he was. And luckily, she said she had her rosary beads with her that night. And she had the snotting of him. She had the snotting like the devil. And he backed off. But she always put it down to the fact that she had her rosary beads with her.
And I presume if that's somebody that you spoke with, that's not, you know, centuries, and that's obviously in the relatively recent past that would have happened.
20, 30 years ago.
Okay. So it still occasionally seems to happen in relatively modern times at least.
Yes. And look at all the places all over the country that have the name of the pooka. Here in Croisín, we have a town land called Caharafuka. Mm-hmm. And look at above in County Wicklow, where the you know, for Dublin, the reservoir is Paula Fuca. There's a place in Kerry called Lisa Fuca. They're all over the country, places named after the pooka.
And presumably that's for those places, there are stories of the pooka in those locations.
As I know, there isn't anyone there in Innistamon.
Okay, I'm not ready of one, or aware of one either.
No.
We got a text in earlier, and I'd like to put it to you. I did read it out from a listener. They stated how the pooka predates Christianity and how it's a Celtic tradition going back many centuries. In this person's eyes, our Celtic history needs to be kept alive. Do you see and understand the merits of that argument, that this piece of Irish folklore, mythology, call it as you will, that it needs to be preserved, it's part of our culture, it needs to be marked and celebrated?
Well, sure, look, is it any harm? Because look at Puck Fair. Mm-hmm. Puck Fair is kept alive, and there's no doubt that that goes back an awful long way.
Yes.
Fairs like that were very common one time. But the pooka is also, no doubt about it, you could trace that back an awful long way also. And traditions like the pooka, you'd be better off left that to professional folklorists.
Yes.
No doubt they could do that. But nowadays, you see, all of these things have been left to amateurs. And if you leave those things to amateurs, then it should be like leaving veterinary surgery to amateurs.
I understand what you're saying. So it should be something that's more, obviously something more accurate in your
Absolutely.
Eyes. Okay.
Absolutely. I collect the stories about these things, and I'm delighted to, and I've been doing that for the past 45 years, and I collect them because if they hadn't been collected, they would have been lost. And when I collect these stories, they're there. They're there.
Okay.
After that, well, I have picked up an awful lot of the because I've done as much as I can in the line of what would I say, becoming a professional at it. But there are people better than me at it also, as no doubt there are people better than, you know, there are degrees of this.
Yes.
And I'd always leave my stories to them then to interpret them, because you can have the stories and let people other than you interpret them and go on from there. But to get so excited about a thing like a statue, I'm not sure that it's a great idea to get so nonsensical about the thing.
Well,
The statue.
We certainly had much excitement about it. The statue might be the statue. Whether it ends up on that corner at Lower Churchill, I'm sceptical at this stage, but there's a process still to come on that over the period.
It's interesting, though, to see people's processes of mind.
Yes, absolutely. And I will say one thing to finish. It was also very interesting to read the messages that came in on Friday and certainly yesterday. The number of people who were concerned about this statue because they felt felt that the pooka was a real presence. Not the statue, not in this form, but they felt that because of the traditional, shall we say, the fears that people have had, that they didn't want to stoke those spirits at all. That belief is still out there in our society.
Well, that's a nice thing to know.
Eddie, enjoy the chat as always. Thanks for joining us this
morning.
Thank
you very much.
Do take care. Slán lad. All the very best. Eddie Lenehan there in Croisín.